All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. Hope everybody had a good week last week. Look forward to a new week that the Lord has blessed us with. Again, thankful for everybody being here. We're mindful of our loved ones who aren't able to be here, whether they can't be with us for health reasons or whatever it may be. Hopefully you're able to join us online on Facebook or listen to it on the website after services. A few things to keep in mind. I know Alyssa has some upcoming procedures, so let's keep her in the prayers. And I know Jesse is kind of having to quarantine himself, so I think there's just a lot going on the Daniels household. So keep them in our prayers. Also, Mary Jo just told me that Emmett has a lot of tests coming up this coming week. So let's keep Emmett and the family in the prayers. They're going to have to be mindful of who they're around, I think, for a few days. But he just has a lot of procedures coming up. So you can get with them and get some details after services. But let's keep Emmett and the family in our prayers as well. Again, it's good to see you all here this morning. Very thankful for that. If you would, bow with me forward to prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day that you blessed us with. And we're thankful for the time that we have to be here this morning, to be able to lift our voices in praise to you, to be able to study from your word and just be around each other today, to be able to share in our thoughts and in our words and our actions this morning as we praise you in spirit and in truth. We're mindful of our loved ones that aren't able to be with us here this morning for whatever it may be, if it's for physical health or spiritual health, dear Lord. Please be with them and give them strength. Help them to get over the ailments that are keeping them down at this time, dear Lord. And we hope and pray that we can see them again real soon, dear Lord. Please be with all of us and help us to be spiritually strong, that we can help those that are spiritually weak, and help us to be able to teach others and be able to lead more souls to you, dear Lord. We're mindful of Sister Alyssa and her upcoming surgery. Please be with her and her family. Give her strength to get through this procedure, and also be with Emmett this week as he goes through a series of tests. Help those tests to reveal good news, dear Lord. And please be with the Schultz family as well, and give them strength to be by his side during this time, dear Lord, and give them good health to get through this time and to get through these tests. Please be with all of us and help us all to have good health and to stay safe through these troublesome times, dear Lord. And help us to always be able to watch out for those that we need to be praying for, dear Lord. Always help us be mindful of those. Always watch over us and guide us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes when I think about the songs I'm going to pick out, and somebody was asking me about that, I think, last week, and sometimes it's a verse that I read, and sometimes it's a song that I just want to sing. So this time, it's a song I just wanted to sing. So I'm going to preview a song we're going to sing later, and the song we're going to sing for the Lord's Supper is going to be the song, What Did He Do? Now, we haven't sung that song in a long time, I don't think, so it's just one I wanted to sing, and it's a good one to sing to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. So there you go, there's your preview. We're going to be singing, What Did He Do? For the Lord's Supper. But to back up with that, the three songs I'm going to sing leading up to Brother Bobby's lesson kind of have that thought about, when we think about what Christ and what he did for us, that list is pretty long, and three songs isn't going to cover it, that's for sure. But one verse that came to mind when I was thinking about that thought was Titus 2:14, when it talks about our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Just in that one verse there's a lot going on that talks about what Christ has done for us. So we think about what did he do. Again, there's a lot of things, and I encourage you to think about those things later on when you just want to study or think about all the things that Christ has done for us, because it's a great many things. But we're going to just sing about three of those things that kind of revolve around that verse in Titus. So when we think about Christ who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, we're going to sing the song, My Redeemer, because truly Christ is our Redeemer. He paid the debt and made me free, as the song goes. We're going to be singing the first and the third verse. And a few of these songs we haven't sung in quite a while, so it might take you a little bit to get going, but These are songs we know. You just have to remember them as we go along. But my Redeemer, first in the third verse. Let's sing. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free. I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me. He from death to life had brought me, Son of God, with him to be. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, of my Redeemer. With his blood he purchased me. On the cross he sealed my pardon. He sealed my pardon. Paid the debt and made me free.
Amen.
That's just a good song. That's a good one to get going on. Been a while, hasn't it? So again, going back to Titus, when we think about our Jesus Christ, our Savior, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people. So our next song, thinking about that kind of thing about Christ purifying for himself a people, we're going to sing the song, Pure in Heart, O God. There's a line in that song that says, may I devote my life wholly to thee. And that's what we're looking to do when we serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We want to be pure in heart, just as he was pure. So we're going to sing all three verses. Pure in heart, O God. Let's sing.
Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. May I devote my life wholly to thee. Watch thou my wayward feet, guide me with counsel sweet. Purer in heart, help me to be. Teach me to do thy will most lovingly. Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide. Purer in heart, help me to be. Purer in heart, O God, help me to be. That I thy holy face one day may see. Keep me from secret sin. Reign now my soul within. Purer in heart, help.
Our Savior gave himself for us to redeem us from lawlessness, purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. You know, sometimes, you know, we're first baptized and become a Christian, and we're really zealous and we're really out there wanting to work for the Lord. And sometimes, over time, things just kind of drift away, don't they? I know sometimes I feel that way. Maybe I'm not as zealous as maybe I used to be. And you need to get back into that because our Savior gave himself for us, for a people zealous for good work. So, you know, again, sometimes we can let this world kind of toss us to and fro. And, you know, it's like, you know, you're close to the shore, you're close to Christ. And then, you know, when you drift, it's kind of a slow thing. It's like a slow fade away from the shore. And the next thing you know, you're a long way away. And so it's why it's something to be mindful of, drifting away. So we think about Christ and what he has done for us. He is that anchor for us to keep us close to him. And we're going to sing the song before Brother Bobby's lesson. That is the song, "We Have an Anchor." And we think about that anchor that is steadfast and sure, that is going to keep us rooted, to keep us from drifting away. You know, so that we can be zealous for good works, zealous in our faith to serve the Lord. So it keeps us from drifting away. So we have that anchor. So what Christ has done for us, he's redeemed us, he's purified us, and he is that anchor, that rock, so that we can be close to him and continue to be zealous to be able to be a worker for him. So before the lesson, we are going to sing, "We Have an Anchor." Let's sing.
Will your anchor hold in the storms of life when the clouds unfold their wings of strife? When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Savior's hand. And the cables pass from his heart to mine, can defy the blast through strength divine. We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. When our eyes behold through the gathering night the city of gold, our harbor bright, we shall anchor fast by the heavenly shore, where the storms all pass forevermore. We have an anchor that keeps us all steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love.
Amen. We turn the service over to Brother Bobby.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good to see each one of you present this morning. And it's good for me to be able to be back in the pulpit today, even though my eyes are not all well yet. They're still swollen some, but still where I can halfway see. So maybe we can make it through the lesson this morning. Have a lesson in my mind that is one that is real needful for all of us, and we need to think seriously about these things. We're still talking about walking the narrow way. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13-14, he said, "There's a wide gate and a broad way that leads unto destruction, and many there be that find it. There's a straight, a narrow gate and a straighter, difficult way that leads unto life, and there are few that find it. And this is what we're searching for, is that, that straight and narrow way that leads unto eternal life. Now, in traveling that way, we also found that Satan puts many obstacles in our way to keep us from traveling, where the travel won't be as smoothly as it could be or as it should be. He tries to detour us and cause us to go aside as we go this way or travel this way. Now, today we're going to be talking about faith. But this faith that we're talking about, as Tim was talking about a while ago, we need an anchor to anchor us, to keep us from drifting away. And so I'm going to do a parable today, not one of Jesus' parables, but one of my parables that I'm going to be doing today. I told Tim a while ago, if Jesus could use parables in preaching, I could too. And so I'm going to try to set a parable before you today. If you'll listen closely as we start, I think it'll be interesting to you and help you to understand a little bit more. Now, just suppose for a moment that you're out on the lake in a boat. You've been out there most of the day. You've been fishing. You're tired. And here's a dock. And so you pull up and tie or anchor to that dock. You decide you're going to relax a little bit. So you kick back in the boat. And the gentle rocking of the boat and the sound of the rippling of the water. First thing you know, you're sound asleep. And you wake up. And to your surprise, you're not at the dock anymore. You're out in the middle of the lake. The anchor rope has come loose. The boat has drifted, and you're out in the middle of the lake, and you can barely see the dock that you were anchored to. And so now this is where our parable starts, and I want to explain this to you and think about it as we talk about it, and then we'll get into the rest of our lesson. Now, the boat that we're talking about, that we're in, is faith. And this faith is what we're talking about, must not drift away. The dock to which we're tied is God. We're tied to God. Our faith is tied to Him. The anchor line that ties us to the dock is God's Word. It anchors us to Him and keeps us from drifting away. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, "So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so this faith that we have must be anchored to God, and so this is anchored by God's Word. The lake that we're on is the world. It's not a lake as we see it, but it is the world that we're in. Now, to drift away, as we were tied to the dock, the rope comes loose. What causes us to drift away is either the current that is in the lake, or wind that is blown, or a combination of both. Now, the current that we're talking about is the nations round about us. We're in the world, the lake of the world, and the nations round about us is the current that moves us one way or the other. The wind that blows is the forces of Satan. So between the people of the world and the Satan's forces, we drift away from where we need to be. Now, we must not love the world or the things in the world. John tells us in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Now, the things of the world, then, are the things that please, is things that pulls us away from God. They are not the things that please God, but they're the things that are opposite to Him that would cause us to go away from Him instead of following Him in the way we should, in the straight and narrow way. We must not be carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, we said Satan's forces is the wind that blows, so we must not be carried away by every doctrine that Satan places before us. And he does place the doctrines before us day by day and different things before us to cause us to stumble. Paul said in the writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, he says, "Till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive." So Satan blows the wind of deception to us. He tries to deceive us. He tries to get us to follow after different doctrines instead of following after what God has said, and follow after what man has said. Try to go with the crowd. Don't be different to other people. We're taught in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Peter said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfastly," he says, "in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." So this boat that we're talking about will not sit still. It'll drift one way or the other, either because of the current, which is the people of the world, or the doctrines of Satan. It will cause us to drift away. This is why our anchor of faith must be strong. We must be firmly attached to God, to the dock, with the anchor of His Word, in order to stay in the way that we ought to in following after Him. Now, let's go a little bit further into our lesson. This was just the introductory remarks to our lesson this morning. Let's do a spiritual application now of this. You know, sometime this happens to us spiritually. We can understand, if you've ever fished in and you've been out in the boat, and I have a lot of times, you know you get tired, you know you get weary, you know you pull up and tie to something, and sometime the anchor rope comes loose and the boat begins to drift. And so we can understand that. But what about from a spiritual standpoint? How do we apply this to us spiritually? We start out, as Tim talked about this morning, we're baptized into Jesus Christ. And we start out, we're all anxious to do what God has told us to do. We can't do enough to please us. And so before long, though, before we realize it, that begins to drift away. We start out with our soul anchored to God and to God's way. And we're fully with Him. We're doing everything we can to try to please Him and to tell others about Him. But one day we wake up to realize that we've drifted away from God, that we're not as strong for Him as we were at one time, that we're not as anxious to do things spiritually as we were in times past. And so what do? We realize that we're drifting away. And where is the dock that we're supposed to be tied to? We can barely see it off in the distance. And so we have to work hard to get back to that point where we were. Our faith has almost vanished away. It's drifted and almost vanished away. Like the dock that we saw with that we were anchored to in our story, it's barely visible. It's far away, and we'll have to work hard to get back to it. The Hebrew writer warns us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." So the things that we have heard, the things that we've been taught, the things that we've read from God's Word, we must go back and refresh our memory again. Like we said a while ago in Romans 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing the Word of God, being exposed to the Word of God, either by reading it, hearing other people teach it, or something of this nature. We must be exposed to the Word of God for us to be strong. And so these things that we have heard, we must not let them slip. We must go back and refresh our memory again and again. That's why we need to read the Bible every day of our life, that we may go back and study it. Like just a little bit, been through with the Old Testament. I started back about 3 months ago, I guess, reading through the Bible again. And I think I'm at Habakkuk. And from there on out, it's all I like, having the entire Bible read within about 3 months. So we need to go back and refresh our memory of time and again, that we may not drift away from those things that we have heard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul said, "Examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not that your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate." So Jesus is in us, He will be in us, and He will help us to accomplish those tasks that we need to get back to God. He says that we are to examine ourselves or to test ourselves to see if we're in the faith, if we're still strong like we ought to be. So day by day, we need to test ourselves. We strengthen our faith, as we said before, by the study of God's Word, Romans 10 and verse 17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We cannot take our faith for granted. You know, when we do, that's when we're in trouble. We think that we will remain anchored to God without any effort on our part. But that's not the case. We've got to refresh our, our memory. We've got to go back and study over and over every day of our life. Pray to God every day of our life to give us strength. And this is the way that we stay anchored to God in the way that we ought to. Our walk of faith requires action. Now, this is not something that happens accidentally, but it requires action. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. And if you'd like to, if you have your Bible open, we'll read those verses. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life to which you were also were called, and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you in the sight of God to give life to all things, and to before Christ Jesus, who witnessed good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without spot and blemish until the Lord Jesus Christ appears. And so we are to work hard. It is a constant effort to do those things that will help us to be what God wants us to be. Some may think more highly of themselves than they ought to think. They think, well, you know, I'd never be tempted. My faith would never drift away. My faith would never waver. Well, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3 says, for I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt every man the measure of faith. So we need to think soberly, and if we think that we would never be tempted, that our faith would never weaken, then we better think again, because there are many examples of people in the Bible who were spiritual people, who were religious people, who were anxious to serve God, whose faith did dwindle away, and they drifted away from the dock to which they were tied. They may think that there is no way that their faith will drift and vanish away, but they are only fooling themselves. We are only fooling ourselves if we think this. Peter found this out the hard way. Now, we know that there are different ways and different places that we can refer to Peter. And normally we go to Matthew chapter 26 and we talk about when he denied the Lord three times. Well, that's not what we're talking about today. Jesus came to his disciples. They were out in a boat on the lake. And he came to them walking on the water. This is in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 25. It says, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the water. As much as Peter wanted his faith to be as strong and strong enough to walk on the water as Jesus did, the surroundings distracted him and caused him to begin to sink. Notice in Matthew 14, verse 28 through 30. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So here was Peter, who thought his faith was strong enough that he could get down out of this boat and he could walk on the water just like Jesus did. And he did for a little bit until the surroundings caused him to be frightened, and he began to think more about that, took his eyes off of Jesus and off of the goal, and he began to sink, and Jesus had to save him. Now, like Peter, our confidence can be shattered by the distractions of life or the wind of Satan that blows day by day and would cause our faith to drift, just like Peter's did. When he saw the wind was boisterous and the waves around him, he became frightened, and he began to sink and had to be saved by the Lord. Now, let us never think that our faith cannot fade away. If we do, then we might soon find ourselves sinking deep into sin. And so we need to refresh our memories day by day. We need to be constant in prayer and doing what God would have us to do. Sometimes whole congregations can be found drifting away, as well as individuals. Now let's talk about this for a moment. If you want to turn back or turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, let's read a few verses there. Revelation chapter 2, and we'll begin reading with verse 1 and read down through about verse 5. To the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things says he who has the seven stars in his right hand and walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works, your labor, patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say that they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and you have persevered and have patience and have labored and for my name's sake and have become weak. But now after all this good that he says about him, notice in verse 4. Nevertheless, he said, I have somewhat against you that you have left your first love. Repent, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove the lampstand from its place unless you repent. So here was a whole congregation now, Ephesus. They were still doing things. They still claimed to be doing God's will and seemed to be religious people. But Jesus said, I've got some things against you. You've left your first love. You're not as faithful as you were. Your faith has drifted, so to speak. And so here was a whole congregation that we're talking about. So Jesus said some good things about these people at Ephesus, all the good things that they had done and were still doing. They were guilty of just going through the motion, and the faith was not as strong as it ought to be. Their faith was drifting, even though they did not realize that their faith was drifting. And this is the danger, because sometimes our faith can be drifting and we don't even really realize that our faith is drifting. We think we're still just as strong as we ever were, when really we're not. Because of this, Jesus tells them that he will come and remove their lampstand if they do not repent and return to their first love. Now, let me ask you a question. What good is a lampstand if there's no fire there? And so here they were. Here was the congregation. They didn't need the lampstand if there was no fire there. He said, you've left your first love. You need to repent and go back to it, or I'm going to come and take that lampstand away. As sad as it is for an individual to drift away and their faith to drift away from God, it's even more so when an entire church will drift away and vanish, their faith vanishes. But it happens, and we've seen it happen, and here it is in the Bible that Jesus is talking about there in the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. There are some things, some signs that show our drifting away from the faith. And we said sometime we drift away and don't even realize it. Well, here are some signs that will help us to realize that we are drifting away when we don't really realize that we are. First of all, number one, is losing your desire to read and study God's Word. Now, do you still desire to study God's Word as much as you did? Does it still thrill you to read the Bible and to study the Bible as it ought to? Carla and I were talking this week, and she was talking about reading the Bible, and she says, you know, sometime when I'm reading about Jesus and the things that he suffered for us, she said, I'll be sitting there reading and tears will be running down my cheeks because of the things that he did for us. Do we still thrill at the reading of the Bible? Do we still tear up when we think about Jesus and all the suffering that he did on the cross for us? Does it hurt us to think about he had to die for us, for our sins, that he had no sin for himself, but he died for ours? And so here, if we lose that desire to study from God's Word, I've had people tell me, I just don't like to read the Bible. Well, that's a shame if we don't like to read the Bible. We need to study it day by day. It is said to be living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the Word of God is quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the Bible is something that is very important. It is powerful. It is living. And so we need to read it. That's why we go back and read it time and again. And every time we read it, we find something there that we didn't notice before that thrills our soul. It is also said by James that it's able to save our souls in James chapter 1 and verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. And so this Bible can save our soul, and we need to be acquainted with it and know what it says. Without it, we cannot know what God wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, Paul said of Timothy, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear." Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." And he went on to say, "And you shall teach them diligently unto your children." And they were to put them on the doorpost and in different places to where they would be visible, where they could see them every day. And so the Bible is very important to us. All these passages show the importance of reading and studying God's Word. We need to be at it every day, studying and reading God's Word. This should be a daily event. We need to find time, whenever is the best time for you. If it's early in the morning while you're still fresh, or if it's late at night before you go to bed, or whatever, find a time during the day that you can set aside some time to read and study from God's Word. And don't just haphazardly let the Bible fall over, open and read a chapter here and a chapter there. But try to do it in a way where you can understand what the Bible is saying. I like to sit down, if I'm going to be reading from the Bible, if I'm going to be reading from Genesis, I like to start at chapter 1 and go all the way through the book of Genesis before I quit. And that way I get the whole story. But sometimes there's more chapters than we can do, like in the book of Psalms. It may take us longer than that to read the whole book of Psalms. But do what you can to try to read it in a way to where you can understand what the Bible is saying. If we allow our busy life to rob us of this time, then soon our faith will begin to drift away. But there's another good sign too, and that's a lack of prayer. Do we pray to God as much as we used to? Do we find ourselves thanking him for all the good things that he's done for us and asking him to guide us and to lead us in the right way? I don't miss a day praying that the Lord will help me to preach lessons that will guide this congregation in the way that he would have it to go. And I think this is what's important to us, that God wants us to pray to him and to talk to him. So sometimes people say, "Well, you know, when I pray to God, it seems like I'm praying the same thing over and over again, and God's going to get tired of that." No, God doesn't get tired of it. He wants us to pray unto him. God has given us the privilege of prayer so we can speak to him. It's our talking to our Father, and we need to talk to him every day. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, "Pray without ceasing." This encourages us to do this often, like our reading and so forth. We need to do every day. We need to pray to God every day, and not just at mealtime, but times when we have opportunity to pray to God. We can just be out by ourselves and nothing interfering with us, and we can open our hearts and pray to God and speak with him through prayer. God listens, and he will answer our prayers according to his will. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 through 16. "Seeing then that you have the great high priest which passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus was tempted, so we can go to God boldly in prayer, knowing that he will hear, he will answer our prayers according to his will. Verse 16 said, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And this is what we do. Jesus took advantage of praying because he realized that he needed the Father. Now, if Jesus needed the Father, how much more do we need the Father? If he needed to talk with God, what about us? We need him every day of our life. Sometime he would pray all night long. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 12, it talks about Jesus praying all night. And then in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, it talks about him getting up long before daylight and praying unto God. And so it was something that was important to Jesus. Jesus wanted us to pray so that we would not lose heart. In Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he said so, that we need to pray that we might not lose heart. And so that's another sign of our faith weakening. Another one is poor attendance for church services. Do we attend as faithfully as we should? Does it mean as much to us as it used to? Do we thrill to the idea of coming together like we have this morning to worship God and to study from His Word? The church should be important to every Christian because it came at the cost of the blood of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, this was where Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders there when he, in that passage. We should count it an honor to be a part of the body of Christ. It should be an honor to be a part of the family of God and to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ in his family. We each are a part of the body, and we make up that body. Now, why would we want to miss and cripple the body of Christ? When I miss the services, I'm not there, then a part of the body is missing, and that's crippling the body. So why would I want to miss and to cripple the body of Jesus Christ? And so we need to, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Matthew 6 and verse 33 says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to us. Another sign is, and this is the last one, we're about to bring the lesson to a close. Sometimes we just don't want to get involved in the work of the church. Let somebody else do it, like Tim was talking about last week with Moses and the excuses that Moses made. Send somebody else, you know. Why, who am I to send down into Egypt to bring the people out? And so sometimes we just don't want to get involved in the work of the church. There's more to being a Christian than just learning about God and warming the pew every week. Now, this is important that we learn about God and that we are faithful to serve him, but there's more to it. There's much work to be done to help the church to be more of a light in the community in which it exists. And it's up to us as to whether the church is the light like it ought to be. We need to be a living example, an active teacher in the community so that people can know about us and about the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can the Lord depend upon us to tell the world his story? Can Jesus depend upon us to tell the world about what he suffered for us and about the salvation that's offered through his death and through his suffering on the cross? Surely he can. I want to do my part, and I'm sure that you do too. And so let's do all that we can to keep our faith strong and keep it attached to God in the way that it ought to, that not drift away to where we become weak and are not the part of the body that we ought to be. If you need to obey the gospel today, there's no time like the present to do so. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing the song that Tim has selected as the invitation song. And if there are those here in the audience who need to obey the gospel, then we bid you to do so. And if there are those out in our audience that's watching today, and you know that there's some things that need to be done in your life, and you need to make changes in your life, then if we can help you, let us know and we'll help you make the changes that need to be made. Won't you come while we stand together and as we sing?
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters left in me now safe. Danger. look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry wave. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He your Savior wants to be saved today. Love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me, love lifted even me, love lifted even me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me.
Amen. Please be seated. Thank you, Brother Bobby, for an excellent lesson this morning. I like the parable. I think that's I don't know. I think being able to apply lessons to us, that's what we're always trying to do. So a parable is a good way to take something that we're familiar with and be able to apply a spiritual lesson to it. So I thank you for the great lesson today. We turn our attention this morning to help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. And as advertised, we will be singing the song, What Did He Do? And again, we think about all the things that Christ has done for us. The song is a question, but I think we know the answer. And the chorus gives us all sorts of answers here. So when we sing this song, I think it helps us to focus on thinking about what Christ did for us. Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon the cross? What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? Believe it. He is in heaven interceding. So we'll sing the song, What Did He Do? And then we'll partake of the Lord's Supper.
Listen. Oh, listen to our wondrous story, counted once upon the lost. Yet one came down from heaven's glory, saving us at all cost. Who saved us from eternal loss?
Who was God's Son upon the cross?
What did he do? Where is he now? In heaven interceding. No angel could his place have taken. Highest of the high, though he, the loved one on the cross forsaken, was one of the Godhead three. Who saved us from eternal loss?
Who was God's Son upon the cross?
What did he do? Where is he now? In heaven interceding. Will you surrender to his Savior, to his scepter humbly bow? You too shall come to know his favor. He will save you now. Who saved us from eternal loss?
Who was God's Son upon the cross?
What did he do? Where is he now? Interceding.
Amen.
Good morning. We'll continue with some thoughts from the book of Romans as we gather around the table this morning. If you're following along, you can flip over to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So Paul begins this sixth chapter of Romans by asking a question. Or do we continue in sin? Or maybe we should state and look at that a different way. Maybe it's, are we to remain in sin? Paul is questioning that although we have this death of Christ and the grace that was brought through that death, should we continue to live a sinful life? And of course, he answers that with an emphatic no. We should not. Absolutely not. God's grace is overflowing and superabounding through the blood of Jesus. The Christian is not to live under sin's power. We have died to sin and should avoid living under its rule. He mentions baptism, and baptism joins us to Christ and places us in the body. When we make the decision to come to Christ, when we make the decision to be baptized, we become joined to Christ. But not just that we're simply joined to Christ. To baptize into Christ is to die and to rise again with Christ. We're dying to the world of sin, sin's rule, sin's power, and we're rising to live a new life as a new person joined to Christ. Paul closes these set of verses with a promise. He says, if we're united with Jesus in his death, then we will certainly be united with Jesus in a resurrection like his. In Jesus, we have hope and we have knowledge that we are not condemned for our sins. God has covered our sins with the blood of Jesus, and now we stand before God as acquitted. I think the chorus of the song that we just sang goes right along with this. Who saved us from eternal loss? Who but God's Son upon a cross? What did he do? He died for you. Where is he now? Believe it thou. He's in heaven interceding. You pray with me, please. Our Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful for the opportunity we have to gather around the table this morning to commemorate the death of Christ, to remember all that he has done for us, for the love that you showed in sending him to die on that cruel cross so that we can have hope of an eternal life. Father, we're so very thankful for the love that you demonstrated in your actions by sending him. We're thankful for his willingness to go to the cross, to hang on that cruel cross. We're thankful for the power that you demonstrated in raising him from death to sit at your right side. Father, as we partake of these emblems, let us now give thanks for the bread which represents the body of Jesus that hung on that cross. Let us, as we partake of it, do so with a well-pleasing manner, remembering the sacrifice that Jesus made, remembering the love that he had for us, and remembering all the blessings and the benefits we received through that death. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Dear God, as we come together again today to partake of the Lord's Supper, please help us to remember the sacrifice that you gave to us and the blood that you shed so that we could be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did we accidentally overlook anyone? Glad to see everyone this morning. Always a pleasure to come out and be with God's people as we come together and worship our Savior, to come and worship our God. And it's glad we've got everybody out this morning. Glad to see Bobby back. Glad he's feeling better. His eye surgery went incredibly well. I think he was supposed to get a lot of bruising, and I was afraid that people were going to think that I'd had enough with him taking my room and my house and my bathroom and everything else. But he has recovered very nicely. Glad to see him back in the pulpit. It's what he truly loves to do, and I think we're the beneficiaries of that, right? You can tell when you've got somebody that really loves to preach God's Word, because they want to do it every day, even when they're not feeling well. And thank Dale last week for filling in. I think he did a great job, but glad to get Bobby back and glad him getting to what he loves to do. So don't forget on your way out, if you have contribution, you can leave that in the box out to your right on the way, and then just remember to take your little juice cup and your little bread pack and throw that in the garbage can as you leave. So, Tim?
So our closing song this morning, we think about, again, what Christ has done for us. What did he do? He died for us, but he's gone to prepare a place for us. I love that song. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. I've gone to prepare a place for you. Just think about that. Christ has prepared a place for us. So that's pretty cool. So we think about, what has he done? He's done that as well. So we want to live each and every day so that we can spend eternity in that place he has prepared for us and live and dwell with him in those mansions over the hilltop. So we're going to sing first verse of this song. We're going to sing the chorus twice because I just really like the chorus. So we're going to do that twice, and then we'll have our closing prayer. Brother Don, would you like to lead us in our closing prayer this morning? Thank you. All right. First verse, Mansions Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver mine. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are purest gold.
Amen. Brother Don.
If you would, let us pray. Dear kind and merciful and loving Father in heaven, as we approach thy throne of grace this morning and worshiping thee and striving to do thy will in all things, we ask, dear Father, that you would be with us now and encourage us that we could hopefully strive to reach those around about us that may be lost in sin and are unable to find their way in this world. Help us, Father, always to love you and to love your Son, and to appreciate what has been done for us. And as we go through our lives, help us always, Father, to love you, to love your word, to follow the things that you have told us to do as we go through this life and do those things that you want us to do. And help us always, Father, to have an open heart, receptive to your truths. These favors and blessings, dear Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.